Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bite-Sized Blessings podcast. This week, I'm introducing you to Helen Gretchen Jones, and we have a really provocative conversation this week. And there was a lot of synchronicity around the production of this podcast. Helen's miracle, or one of the stories that she shares in this episode, I was actually out earlier with a friend who has no idea what this week's episode is about, but not only did he tell me that he wants to be a death doula, which is what Helen does, or one of the things that Helen does, but he also brought up this really magical seminal experience when he was younger that had to do with a forest. And when you listen to one of Helen's miracles, I think you'll see the magical synchronicity that kind of wove its way through the production of the episode this week, as well as the meeting with my friend. These kinds of magical coincidences or meet cutes, I guess, between real life and what people are thinking or doing or supposing or sharing, these are the reasons I get out of bed every day. You never know when you're going to encounter something that just makes you sit back and say, oh my gosh, this universe is enchanting. So I would love to let Helen let you know who she is and the work that she's doing in the world. Suffice it to say that she has led a really interesting life, a life filled with liminal experiences, with experiences that are hard to define, and with experiences that, I don't know, I think some of us would be really challenged by them. But Helen has taken it all in stride. So without further ado, here's the very next episode of the Bite-Sized Blessings podcast.
And Mr. Virgil was having severe panic attacks, but he was already to kind of an unconscious stage, but his body was physically reacting in a way that would resemble a panic attack, even though his mind was already unconscious. So it was to me, to anyone looking, it would appear he was struggling. I know better on a spiritual level, but that's what it looked like. So I sit down to do connecting to him, trying to bring him peace. And the hospital room, once again, transforms into this gorgeous field. I'm standing in a field of bright yellow flowers with blue skies up against a forest. And I looked over to my right and there's Mr. Virgil standing right next to me.
Love for you to share a story or stories. You've already shared a couple of something miraculous or magical you've observed. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be with your vocation or the work that you do, but a few stories of kind of inexplicable happenings in your life. I'd love to hear any and all.
Where do I begin? You know, it's this life is miraculous and there's magic happening all the time. But I think I will stick with some of my patient stories. They are some of the most transformative for me. I will talk about Mrs. Wilma, and of course I have changed their names for their family's privacy. Mrs. Wilma was a NODA patient. NODA stands for No One Dies Alone, and it's a program that's hospital-based. And what they do is they ask for volunteers. You do like a weekend training and they ask for volunteers through email and you sign up in 3-hour shifts for people to sit with people with patients who are dying who don't have family. Maybe they never had kids. Maybe they're the last of their kind. Maybe they burned all those bridges and no one wants to be there. For a number of reasons, people are dying alone. So I signed up for Mrs. Wilma's shift and I went in to sit with her. And they give you a little rundown of her. I knew she was a Black woman who was Baptist and elderly. So that's kind of what I knew. So I put on some, you know, hymns and was kind of letting my phone play music. And I was going to sit bedside with her, and I closed my eyes and I just kind of center myself, and I try to connect to something greater than myself, God, you know, angels, the universe, all that is, whatever vocabulary word works for whoever's listening, connecting to something greater than me. And as I did, I'm setting an intention or saying a prayer. I'm having my own little inner dialogue in order to bring peace to Mrs. Wilma. And I opened my eyes and a young girl is walking into the hospital room, and she's in black and white. Now that's when I recognized that it would be a spirit form person, a spirit being, because she's in black and white. So a person, whenever I see them in black and white, usually means a time frame of 1920s to like 1969, respectively. Don't know. That's just what my brain does. So here comes this little girl. And I recognized her as a young Mrs. Wilma. And her hair is like twisted in braids, and she's wearing her Sunday best dress. And I had this amazing feeling of unconditional love and expansiveness. Like I could be bigger than the room. And if you put me in a bigger room, I could be bigger than that room, just huge and free. And I had this sudden knowing or feeling of an overarching theme in Mrs. Wilma's life of separation. As a child who went through segregation and being forced to be separate in her community, and now here she is dying alone, separate from her family. And this was something that I guess was something she had struggled with her entire life. And when young Mrs. Wilma took my hand, the hospital room transformed into this forest. And I know how out there this sounds, but suddenly I was aware of being in two worlds at once. I was sitting bedside in a hospital with my left hand holding elderly Mrs. Wilma's hand, and my right hand is holding young Mrs. Wilma's hand, and I'm also in this forest. And she begins, I go into greater detail in the book, but to summarize, she's like, look at this forest. We're going to come over here to this one tree, and we're going to climb this one tree. And somehow we do, just by thinking about it, we are at the top of the tree. And I had a full 360 view of the entire forest, even though I'm only looking straight ahead. And she was like, this one tree is one life, seemingly. But this one tree has all of these roots. Each one of those roots thinks that it's its own one little root life. And every branch on this tree thinks that it's a branch living its branchy life, you know, and every little branch branching off the branch, and every single leaf believes it's its own life. This whole tree is teeming with all these individual lives, and yet it's one tree. And this one tree is actually a bigger part of this forest, which is a bigger part of an even greater landscape. And the whole thing was about connection and how we are all connected and how we are all really one, even though we perceive ourselves as separate individual lives. So it was just really a beautiful experience. It came with a lot of emotions and feelings. And it was this amazing teaching that in her final moments before she took her final breath, she was teaching me about the importance of connection and how we are all one when she had had this whole physical life of separation. So that's one of the more magical stories that I've experienced. I could share one more story, but it is so far out there that I'm not sure if it's going to resonate with the audience or not. You can always remove it, you know, like,
okay. I accept.
Okay. There was a call from NOTA to sit with another patient, and it was already late. I'd been having fun that day, and I was going to bed pretty late, past midnight. And I was like, oh, let me look. And so I look at all the time slots. All the good ones had been taken. For example, nobody wants the midnight to 3 a.m. shift. Like, that's a tough one. But there was a 6 a.m. shift available. And I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I can't even imagine getting up for it. And I said, okay, guys, talking to my team in spirit, If I'm meant to be there, you guys are going to have to wake me up. I'm not setting an alarm, and you better do it by 4:30 because I need to get dressed, get up, get to, you know, drive down to the hospital. I wake up at 4:28 and I wake up to the sound of Colors. It's a song by the Black Pumas playing in my head. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I like the song, but it was important when they're talking about the meadow and the, you know, the blue skies and, you know, the green trees and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, that was kind of playing in my head. I was like, all right, guys, I'll get up. I get dressed. I get in the car and I turn on the radio. Colors by the Black Pumas are playing. And I was like, oh, all right. So sometimes they'll give me hints about my patient. Sometimes I'll get a race or an age or a gender. And I knew as I was driving that it was going to be a Black man. And so I think the reason they do that is so that when I arrive, and it is, it's a validation that I'm tuned into spirit. I think that's tuned into my higher self or inner wisdom, whatever. So there he was. I will call him Mr. Virgil. And Mr. Virgil was having severe panic attacks, but he was already to kind of an unconscious stage, but his body was physically reacting in a way that would resemble a panic attack, even though his mind was already unconscious. So it was to anyone looking, it would appear he was struggling. I know better on a spiritual level, but that's what it looked like. So I sit down to do connecting to him, trying to bring him peace. And the hospital room, once again, transforms into this gorgeous field. I'm standing in a field of bright yellow flowers with blue skies up against a forest. And I didn't mention it before, and I'm going to mention it now. But when I'm there, it's like everything has a song or a hum or a tone or something. It's not like a beat, like a drum beat, but it's musical somehow, like a humming. I really can't explain it. The flowers, the trees, everything, every blade of grass. It's the most beautiful, awe-inspiring feeling to hear all that. The trees in the forest with Miss Wilma were doing the same. So now I see that I am standing in this amazing field, which is very similar to the lyrics of the Black Pumas song Colors. And I looked over to my right and there's Mr. Virgil standing right next to me. I am aware that I am sitting physically in the hospital with Mr. Virgil physically. I am also aware that we are standing in this field of flowers staring at a forest over to the side a little bit. And I can hear a welcome party on the other side of the forest. We just have to walk through the forest. That happens quite frequently. There are very oftentimes welcome parties. They vary from like family reunion style, cottage style, grand ballroom style. I think it just depends on what the person wants who's transitioning. So I knew there was a welcome party waiting for Mr. Virgil, and I knew his mother was there. I could see her in my mind's eye. And I knew that we had to walk through the forest to get there. And Mr. Virgil was afraid a little bit, apprehensive, maybe a better word. We walked to the edge of the forest and he didn't want to go in. And a being of light comes out. This being is huge. The being is blue and white light. And the being is also me. I can't even tell you, I'm in three places at once. I literally could see the hospital room, see myself in the field of flowers as the observer. And I've never seen this before. And I'm hoping for more experiences like this, where I am somehow this giant being of blue and white light that is coming to escort Mr. Virgil. So I take his hand. One of me stays back in the field of flowers, and the me of light escorts him through the forest. And we get quite a ways into it, and he's asking questions. I'm answering it. And he says, what about my nephew and my uncle? And immediately I turn and I look at him, and I send him a projection of potential outcomes for both of them. But I wasn't allowed to see them, even though I'm the me of light projecting it. My reality shifted, flew me straight back to the field of flowers as the observer. So I could not see what the potential outcomes for this uncle and nephew were. Once he seemed okay with that, I came back to the me of light, reality or perspective. And we continued on our journey. He got nervous again. I grew massive. I scooped him up like he was a child. The forest fell away and it was like a backdrop of stars. I know that sounds silly. We were somehow in outer space. And I held him and rocked him and comforted him. I kissed the top of his head. I set him back down. And he said, what about all of the, we're back in the forest now. And he said, what about all the things that I've done, all the things that were sinful, all the things that shouldn't have happened? And I pulled out this little box and it looked like a wrapped gift with a purple ribbon. And I said, in this box is your life as Mr. Virgil. Everything, the good, everything you perceive as good, everything you perceive as bad, every single experience is here. And it is your gift of life, your gift to our collective, your gift to this entire everything of all that is. And anytime you want, you can open this box and relive all of your experiences as Mr. Virgil. He took the gift. We continue walking. We do make it to the edge of the forest, and there's the party. And he says, can I sit right here at the edge? And I said, yes. And right then, unfortunately, a nurse comes in to get his vitals. And I shot right back to my physical body. And she's talking about a bachelorette party she's got going on for the weekend and all this stuff. And I'm laughing to myself thinking, wow, the juxtaposition between, you know, this welcome home party that Mr. Virgil's about to step into and this bachelorette party that she can't wait to get off her shift to go for. And I'm stuck somewhere in the middle, like listening to both sides. So Mr. Virgil died shortly after that. But it was this sort of shared death experience that I had where I literally walked him partway to the other side. And when I got back in the car, I decided to play the Color song one more time. And there was a lyric in the song that says something about walking to the other side. And I had never noticed it before. So the whole thing was magical. The whole thing was perfect. And I really hope to have more experiences where I am literally in three places at once. The observer, also the being of light, and also in my physical focus in the hospital room. It was amazing.
And what a sacred position to be in, to be of service to Mr. Virgil, to help him with this last task.
Yes.
I'm just, I was listening to your story and I'm just kind of like, what? Okay. I need to think about this. I was again getting a little weepy over here and just, and really what struck me and I thought was so incredibly powerful was your noticing and commenting on being in this field and hearing music and that each thing had a song. And, you know, I read a lot of books, but specifically I've been on a shamanic bent of all different kinds of indigenous cultures all over the world. And quite a few of them say that everything is a song, that it all originated as a song and it's all unfurling as a giant song. Everything is a song and music coming out at all times, everywhere. And that we're just kind of emanations of the song. I guess you could say maybe notes perhaps. But when you said that about the field, I got goosebumps and I thought, oh dear.
Are goosebumps your validation?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next episode of this podcast and the end of my conversation with Helen Gretchen Jones. To learn a little bit more about Helen and the work that Helen is doing in the world, there will be a link in the episode's show notes. I do have to say that these kinds of conversations, well, they help me to kind of understand and integrate my fear of death, but also they help to alleviate my tension and anxiety around that event. And, you know, it's an event that I can't get out of. It's going to happen to each and every one of us. And so I really appreciate these conversations. I appreciate the work that Helen is doing in the world. And I appreciate that the sharing of these stories helps alleviate some of my fear.
I hope it does the same for you. And I hope these kinds of stories, these kinds of conversations, they help you to become more enchanted with this reality and more enchanted with the mystery that is swirling all around us. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Helen. I mean, Helen lives in the mystery, right? I mean, whether she wants to or not. With her work as a death doula, she is tending to those and being of witness to those who are going through life's final threshold. I am grateful for the work that Helen is doing, and I can only hope that when it is my time, I have someone to hold my hand and hopefully have an experience of the numinous along with me. So be like Helen, be open to the mystery. No matter what life throws at you or shows to you, know that it's all part and parcel of this great universe that each and every one of us are inhabiting.